Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can find us on Twitter at ACSmith06 and at John_Kirby. And as always, follow the mothership at Believe Network. Today is, Thursday, February 22nd. All right. And listen, I might not know the date, but I know one thing. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, trends that you can follow, your favorite team's path to the playoff with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props.
My bad.
It's the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop to your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. The game starts here. That read, much like Michigan State's basketball season, a complete and total mess.
John. I think it's cool that complete and total messes are still like knocking on the door of the NCAA tournament for like, what is it, the 26th year in a row?
Yes. I mean, okay.
It can get worse. It can get so much worse. And I bit my tongue last night because I didn't want to bring the rest of the fan base to a new low. But if you tuned in, here's the new low. You're going to turn on the tournament, and all you've known, unless you are a true OG, all you've known is every single March you get to watch your favorite team play a game that matters. Sometimes, most times, a few. A lot of times, a lot. The first time this program doesn't make the NCAA tournament with like everyone screaming for a new coach, everybody, like, it's going to hit you like a punch to the face. Mm-hmm. That's what hits are. Punches.
Deep, absolutely deep.
Seriously though, it's gonna stay like it's gonna hurt in a way that I don't think people understand because I have never experienced it. And so I am so into Michigan State basketball because I fear that day. And
I know. you know what? It's in a way. I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right. I think back to the Aaron Henry year from unfortunately not all that long ago. And like, if you remember, just that season was such agony, just scraping and clawing to get to, I think it was 15 wins just to get into the tournament and literally have like the worst possible tournament experience, like lose in the first four in overtime to a team that then went and made a run all the way to the national championship game, if I remember correctly, in UCLA. Like, just a horrendous season. And yet, I would still take that over what you see happening to other teams. And it is. So let's just say it. Like, if you want to think about how bad things could really be, look no further than a handful of miles down the road in Ann Arbor. Here's how bad things are for the Michigan Wolverines. They currently sit, I'm just going to pull up the standings just to make sure that I get this embarrassment exactly correct. They currently sit at 8-18 overall, a whopping 3-12 in the Big Ten. They are losers of, let's see here. Let's just do a little bit of fun math. since they beat Eastern Michigan,
sure,
back on day? December 16th. So in 2023, they have won exactly two games.
Sure.
Included in those additional losses, again, math I'm not going to want to do, you've got losses to such powerhouse programs as Penn State,
ooh,
Nebraska, who among us, Rutgers, and of course, McNeese State. Everybody knows McNeese State as a perennial powerhouse. Now, that being said, they are 23-3, first in the Southland Conference, the prestigious Southland Conference. But
you know who their head coach is, Austin? Do you know who
McNeese? I don't, but I want to know.
You know him. And I am 3 years away from wanting him to be Michigan State's head coach.
Mm.
You ready? Will Wade. Will Wade.
Oh, yeah.
My guy. I am ready for him. He's the best cheater. Like,
oh, without question.
Well, he's not. Like
Jim Harbaugh. He got caught. For his money.
Our bad. Yeah. Self is the best cheater. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Well, I mean, you really want to talk about it. Coach K is the OG cheater, but he's out of the game. So
John Wooden, OG cheater.
Calipari.
I don't know that one. Did you know that one?
No.
Yeah, John Wooden paid for all his players, which is fine.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which is fine. But like pyramid of success, like.
Pyramid of success, the core pillar is pay your player, is break the rules. The core all pillars of these rules, have, break them.
Lou Alcindor as your center. let's be honest.
Does help. There's a reason that's on the pyramid as a core pillar.
The best centers ever play for you for 3 years in college.
And well, change his name to the coolest thing ever. But yeah, I mean, listen, Will Wade, dude, good on him. The sweaty man got caught on tape openly talking about paying his players. But you know what? Again, it's funny. Man. All the names that you just said, we're talking about Coach Cal, Coach K, Bill Self, like
Pitino.
Hall of Fame coaches. The Hall actual best. That you don't get to the Hall of Fame unless you're Tom Izzo, it appears. Uh-huh. As far as we know, without bending some rules, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But anyways, to go back to Michigan, I mean, that is, I think the cherry on top was, if you noticed today, John, we were talking about this before we got on, Olivier Nakamwa, I have no idea if that's how you say his name, but he is their ostensibly their best player. Transfer from Tennessee, was legitimately a big get from the portal for them this offseason. Had a great tournament run with Tennessee last year. He is out for the remainder of the season because mm-hmm. he got hand surgery. But you told me something interesting about that hand surgery before we got on.
I heard Birdie's, I don't know if this is published. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
That it was elective surgery. And boy, oh boy, quitting on us. I mean, and frankly, if he wants to play professionally, not in the NBA, by the way, professionally, you want to get better as fast as you can, right? Like, but and what is there to do in Ann Arbor anymore? Like, this is dumb to keep playing for that train wreck. So that's where they're at, is players are saying, I'd rather just do the surgery now.
Like, it's just awesome. It's awesome the guy decides like to get the not to underplay the surgery, but like it's like he's saying like I'm gonna get like elective surgery, like Botox. Like he got a Botox or he got like a BBL.
Here's the difference. Players often will finish the season. Notably, Delvon Rowe played through a Final Four.
Oh my god, yeah.
With surgery on the table and chose against, like, you know what I mean? Like that's the difference. So I don't know.
Well, when you have nothing to play for, it's like guys skipping bowl games. Can you really blame him when it's all said and done?
It's just like, that's where their program's at, right? Like that's.
Yeah. And the reason why we're delaying the inevitable conversation that we have to have here is because we talked about Michigan State needing to win four games in a row, something that seems like not a huge ask, right? Mm-hmm. Go on the road, beat a bad Penn State team. Go on the road, beat a terrible Michigan team. Come home, beat an average, probably not a, maybe a bubble team in Iowa. And then, not even. And then a bad Ohio State team, who did manage to beat Purdue, which was a wild score to see.
What up, Jake Diebler, by the way?
Yeah, incredible.
First ever game, you get that dub. Like, that's pretty cool.
Pretty good. God, I hated when. Oh God, I hated playing against Diebler. That dude could really shoot.
That was his brother. That's his brother, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I still
John
don't like
John Diebler.
That's who I'm thinking of. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can tell I'm in midseason form here. But anyways, come home, win those two games before a road test at Mackey Arena. It doesn't seem like a big ask, and yet with this team, they're able to get you so close to edge, and then yet it all falls apart. Get those they go in last week, and we'll give them the credit that's due for the two road wins for what they were. We'll start with those. Go ahead.
Okay, so head to always popping Bryce Jordan Arena in State College. And I don't know. This game was in hand the entire time. This was one of the first times for Michigan State, for the first time, I felt like kind of looked like they had a clue. As far as this is what good Michigan State teams do. You need to go on the road and win, be up by double digits nearly the entire game comfortably, withstand their best run, and walk away with the double digit win. They did that. And it was like, oh, cool. Like, okay, maybe, as you were mentioning, the edging, coming off of the Illinois win, you know, that was like, yeah, okay, headed in the right direction. Malik's playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
Jake Aikens plays out of his mind in the first half.
Carson Cooper.
Yeah, Booker's looking good when he's on the floor. It's kind of like you can kind of say, okay, like Booker is coming along. Like maybe this is happening. This is all happening, right? And fast forward, another road game, but it's Michigan. You know, this is the only thing they have to play for at this point. So, you know, they're going to care. They did, and this was when maybe we're back to where we were, because in the first half, you know, things were going pretty well until they weren't. And the second half, if you recall, Michigan State was up, I believe, 9 and then was down by 5 at the beginning of the second half. So like all of a sudden you struggle with a Michigan team and are tied with 7 minutes to go. I know it's a rivalry game, but talent to talent, like you really felt like this one should have been a little more the way the Penn State game went. Regardless, you know, at that, you know, they win by 10, and then we all kind of say maybe we're just picking nits, you know, and everything's still fine. Quickly about this game, Malik Hall plays really well again. I would say one of the things that I didn't want to lose, the cool thing that happened, was with the last defensive possession, Davis Smith was entered in the game for his defense because Tyson had two fouls. And not only defends the play well, but gets the ball at half court and is and fouled by Doug McDaniel for reasons unknown. And he went to the line and knocked down two free throws. Something that most, if not all, other Michigan State team members can not say, like, it is embarrassing that's the case. And anyway, I was trying to stay positive for this game. you get a good game out of another, you know, vintage Tyson Walker 19 point game. Hogg kind of no shows. Aikens kind of no shows. but at the end of the day, like, you're just better. Anyway, you're kind of like, okay, maybe it's fine, maybe it's not. And then you head into the game against Iowa at home, and you're a 10-point favorite. And take it from here.
Yeah, I mean, he's got absolutely docked. I mean, like, there's no way around it. It was never all that close. Like, truly, this was one that I don't know what's the most disappointing part of it.
This is the parents' like pregame before we talk to the kid. By the way, you're listening.
Yeah, it's like, what do we even say? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so much of it is so bad. Somehow actually only out rebounded by one and actually winning the offensive rebounding battle.
Yeah, which it's Iowa.
But it is also Iowa, like the worst, one of the worst rebounding teams in the Big Ten, if I recall correctly. That's all Robbie Hummel and the play-by-play guy were talking about was how bad they are at rebounding, and yet they were just rebounding like crazy against Michigan State. It just looks so easy. Like, it looks so easy for Iowa on offense. Like, again, they didn't even – I think the irony here is they did not end up actually playing that well. They only made four threes on the game, you know, scored 78 points, which is more than they should have. But, like, that's not this – like, they exploded for 110 or something crazy. But they came in and they were just the more confident team. They were the more physical team. They played their style. They asserted themselves. And MSU just kind of, like – no showed, like you said. I mean,
they just let it happen.
Like, and it was such an ugly reminder of the downside of this team. Like, and the irony again is that if you look at this box score and you see Tyson Walker scored 16, AJ Hogard scored 15 and had four assists, but shot 50% from the field, something he hasn't done a whole lot this season. Malik Hall put up 16 and 10 and five assists. Like,
he showed up.
Didn't turn the ball over only eight times. Like, really, no one had more than three fouls. Like, really didn't play that poorly. But you look up and down the rest of the roster, and it's, with the exception of Trey Holloman, who scored nine, it's nothing. I mean, it's nothing. I think maybe the most glaring thing is, once again, this has turned into a horrible free throw shooting team. They go 7 of 14 from the line, lose the game by 7 points. They have one steal in the entire game. They only turned Iowa over six times.
It's the defense. Like,
it just stinks, man. It's just this team once again, like the biggest thing that's just jumps out to me time and time and time again with this team is there is zero identity. Zero. There is no, you would think they are coached by a second year guy who's like just sort of getting his legs, you know, maybe he's taken over some players that he's still getting to know a little bit and getting his system and like trying to like create the ethos of his program, when in fact it is almost like as opposite of that situation as you can get. And I think that that's why it's so disappointing, is it just feels like this pregame is a perfect microcosm of how they've just totally, it feels like, lost their way. I mean, to lose at home by seven to what's probably, like you said, John, not even a bubble team, a 500 conference team that can't win on the road. Like, when you have done the first half, you've done the hard part of what you knew you had to do, and you don't even have a game to get caught looking ahead towards. It's just so
fat and sassy.
Fat and sassy and like predictable in a way. It's predictably so sad, which just sucks. So I don't know. I just kind of ranted. So you can rant now.
No, I mean, that was great. It's it's disappointing. You know, it, like we're talking about, it's not a, everyone, if you're still mad, like,
yeah,
I'm pleading with you to move on to the disappointed stage with us. There's nothing to be mad at anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, nothing can change. There are questions that are happening, Austin. There are very valid questions that are happening about the outputs that you're seeing from the freshmen versus the outputs you're seeing from other people on the floor. And the time differential. And we know traditionally freshmen have short leashes with Izzo, but I spent an entire season watching Max Christie do basically whatever he wanted and not having any repercussions last year. So, like, why are the standards different now? Especially when everyone in the entire arena, everyone that's watching on TV can see where the deficiency is. We don't need to talk about it anymore. We've talked about it every week. There's no point in talking about it anymore. The question is, why? Like, at what point are we... This cannot be a situation where Xavier and Cohen are so bad in practice every practice, and then the minutes they get in the game are just a completely different person. And that is not, I can guarantee that can't be what's happening. And that would be the only explanation to, like, but if it's not as if, like, they can make mistakes. If we're all making mistakes, then let the most athletic kids on the floor make some mistakes. Well, if we're going to do it, I mean, what's the difference?
I mean, and that is extremely well put. Like, what do you have to lose? Truly, what do you need to see out of, you know, I guess in the most backhanded of compliments here, at least Maddie Sissoko only played 5 minutes of this game.
Because he got two fouls in those 5 minutes. He did it to himself.
But it took us 3 years to get to the point where his minutes are actually finally dwindling. The bad news.
It wouldn't have. Again, like, we don't even know. If he had just stumbled around instead of stumbling into people right out of the gate, like, it could be the same situation. Like, the only change was just that a different kid who we know can't do it got to do it.
Right.
And
that's just it. Like, you – I mean, I guess you can just kind of address the elephant in the room in a way where it's like, what if Tom Izzo wasn't the head coach of this program, how would we be feeling right now? Like, I know that he deserves so much benefit of the doubt. Like, there's no question. And I don't think anyone would deny or disagree with that. But there's also the way we've doubted MSU teams in the past is different than the way we're doubting this one. And I think what I mean by that is, in the past, it's been like a little February slump or maybe one bad loss in the early non-con, or you start just like you did this year, start ranked really high, but, you know, kind of end up being more of a mediocre-ish team than a truly great team. And, like, okay, that's fine. You still go to the tournament. Like, last year, you still end up in the Sweet 16, all of that stuff. But this just feels different because it's all of those factors rolled into one season. Like, this was a season where we started the year off ranked really high and, like, clearly smelled our own, the roster smelled their own farts. Like, there's no, like, other way to put it. Like, they were so drunk and high on their own supply going into this season. A, that's always a bad thing. B, they then lose the first game of the season at home to James Madison. That, like, no Michigan State teams does that. And then that snowballs and they lose every other game that is, you know, against a decent team until Baylor. And then they come out and they're the buzzsaw and people are like, okay, benefit of the doubt time, like, played so well against a really good team, all this, that, and the other thing. And then they just flush all that goodwill and it's, and now we're losing games like this at home with no identity. And I think the other problem is, like, in those other years, like, you know, Izzo had to figure out his rotation, right? It's like, there's a couple new faces. Maybe we've lost something. Yeah. Something's not back. This year, complete and total opposite of that. You brought back, with the exception of Joey Hauser, which you can't, not to minimize that. Like, he was a huge part of last year's team, but he was a terrible defender. So there's no reason to explain, like, you can't argue that he's some lockdown guy that changed things on that side of the ball. You can make your arguments for offensive spacing for sure. But the point of the matter is, you brought back so much returning depth. You brought back one of the top five recruiting classes in the country that had pieces you didn't have before. You brought back veteran leadership, and yet it's the same thing over and over. We've seen no change from any player. The only player legitimately that you can say this guy has gotten demonstrably better year one over year two, or year two over year one, is Trey Holloman. And he has literally been forced into action because of what happened to Jeremy Fears. So this is all like a confluence of all of the frustrating things that MSU fans deal with their teams every year, but it's all happening like in this one, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like this particle accelerator of a season where everything's smashing together. And I don't know at what point you have to start asking the big ugly question that no one wants to ask.
For me, the big ugly question is, what is going on? Like, I know that there's a bigger and uglier question, but before anyone wants to get to those questions, I just want to know what's going on. And like, I'm owed nothing. I'm nobody. I'm a fan. Everyone here, you know, Tom Izzo owes his fan base. He doesn't owe them us an explanation. Right. It's just that everyone's invested and confused and wants to believe. So like, tell us what to believe, because I can't believe in the thing you're showing me. Like, like, what is the explanation? And like, yeah, Tom Izzo has, you know, forgotten more things about basketball than I'll ever know. But I still just feel like I'm confused why nobody has even broached the subject of asking why the freshmen aren't seeing the floor more. Like, yeah. I don't feel like that is an insane question for a reporter to ask.
And also, those who do, the answer that he gives is, you're going to see more minutes for Booker. He's been telling us we're going to – it's like saying he's going to play zone. He's told us he's going to play zone every year.
Like, that's the new question, is like, why do you keep saying – like, it's a new question. Like, why do you keep saying that? What is happening in the game that changed you and your staff's mind? And like, it's not questioning you. It's just questioning, can you tell us why you thought that? Why is that your strategy? I want to know as a reporter. And like, if they're afraid, they're afraid. But like, come on.
But like, afraid of what? Like,
I don't know. Or are they just like, not asking the question because they can't think of it? Like, that's one of the two.
I just don't understand. Like, again, we are nobodies. We sit at home on the couch and watch these games like millions of other people do. But all of those millions of people are watching these games. And like you said, we're all asking ourselves the same question. It's like, how much worse could he really be than Carson Cooper?
Who
is easily the best option. Jackson Kohler has some nifty moves in the paint. He is not a Big Ten center. He's definitely not a Big Ten power forward. And he certainly isn't a guy that you can play alongside Carson Cooper. So I do not understand what the risk is. All we've seen from Cohen Carr is, sure, listen, he's a freshman. But freshman, he's not always all there on defense. But this guy legitimately, like, he is such an insane athlete. And you don't have any of that. At like small ball four. And the only way he's going to get any better is if you just allow him to play. And I just don't know why this coaching staff, and I don't think all the blame is on Tom Izzo. I mean, he doesn't always do rotations. I mean, like, his assistant coaches are available, right, are like in charge of that, and actually in large part. So, but what are they afraid of? Like, are they afraid they're going to get fired if he plays? It's like, if that's what you're afraid of, buddy, you got a way bigger problem playing these other guys. You might as well do the thing like NFL GMs do, where it's draft a quarterback to save your job. Like, play the freshman if you're really that worried about it. But I don't know. And I think what should concern Michigan State fans is that there is a very real doomsday scenario for next year where Cohen Carr and Xavier Booker look at their minutes from this year and look at the record and think, why would I come back here again? Like, truly, why would I come play at Michigan State for a sophomore year? I don't understand. I don't know why. I mean, sure, theoretically, there's going to be tons of minutes that are open for them, but like, there's no way that they've gotten out of this freshman year where they possibly could have expected to get out of their freshman year at college.
I have no idea. I literally, and maybe this is what they were told. I keep telling
myself.
There's
no way.
Here's what I don't know. And this is what I also don't understand. And again, no one owes us an explanation, but I'm just confused by is that I haven't seen Tom, or we haven't seen Tom, recruit a kid longer or harder since Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to every one of Xavier Booker's games. He's the only one who did. He would stay with him after the games, and they'd go over the game tape together and say, how can I get better? And like, they had a great relationship. They still probably have a great relationship. I just like, you work so hard to get this kid, and I don't know how great of a relationship. I mean, I hope it's so good that Xavier Booker says, there's no way I'm not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that he's going to stay. I hope it's that good, because unless it's that good, it's scary hours.
Yeah, and I think the scarier thing is not only would that handcuff, I mean, obviously you take a very talented, albeit raw, player out of next year's team, but then you also have a coach who is reluctant to overhaul his roster in the transfer portal, which I to his defense, like, I don't think we've seen it be all that successful top to bottom. So I can't knock him for the aversion, but I think once again, like everyone said it a billion times, it doesn't have to be an overhaul. You just have to supplement obvious weaknesses. And he's done a very poor job of self-evaluation over the last couple of years. And has been, you know, again, kind of loyal. I think the very definition of loyal to a fault with this group of players. And if you put yourself in a scenario where, you know, you have no choice but to fill multiple holes via the portal, we've seen them not use scholarships in the very recent past. And you wonder, is this modern era of college basketball going to be something that he wants to partake in, quite honestly? Like, you've seen it happen. Like, we've talked about college football coaches leaving for the NFL at, like, what seems like in droves. I don't know if it's realistically in droves, but it seems like high profile guys are leaving and going to take different positions. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be different in basketball, but I don't know. I have my concerns. Or I think that big ugly question that nobody wants to ask is something that there might be no option but to ask it after this season. And the way that we get there is very plain to see, in my opinion.
But that's just the thing, Austin. This is the beautiful part about this nightmare, is that your words after the season, because deep down, all of us are saying there's no way, like, they can't pull a rabbit out of the hat and win four. Like, maybe they do, and then it's all forgiven, right? And that's the miracle. Everyone's just, that's all we have to hold on to anymore.
Well, that's that benefit of the doubt, though. Like, that's that lifelong benefit of the doubt, that insane career benefit of the doubt that he's deserves. I mean, we saw it literally last year. Like, they went and they beat Marquette and went to the Sweet 16 and probably should have beaten Kansas State and gone to the Elite Eight. Like, in a year that they were no better, maybe marginally better than they are this year. But, like, I don't even know. Like, very much the same, which is all part of the frustration. But I think the thing that you and I think I have kind of said the last couple of years is, like, oh, this is going to be, like, he's really got to pull it together. You know, because this is his last, like, great chance to do it. I think the stakes are not necessarily, and this is the disappointing part, going to next year, not even, like, national championship. It's like, can Michigan State just, like, reclaim their program identity? Because, like, since Aaron Henry, they've lost it. Like, this generation of Michigan State players have lost that identity. Like, I think Malik Hall is still embodies what it used to be a Spartan. I like Tyson Walker. Tyson Walker in a lot of ways does, but I mean, who else?
That's the problem. That's two guys.
Like it's just not enough. And but that, in my estimation, is like truly what's on the line going into next year. Is that, again, can Michigan State remain a competitive program? Because I think they will. I mean, you're proving it this year. They're going to make the tournament, even if they're not good, which is like, you know, think about Northwestern. Like, they just made the tournament for the first time not all that long ago. And we're speaking from a huge place of privilege. We just talked about Michigan, all of that stuff. But, you know, it's more than that now. It's your identity and who you are and the ethos of your program, I think, is really what kind of is on the line going into next year.
Yeah. And Tom, you know, we asked you sort of at the beginning of the pod, like, you know, what is this team's identity? Tom Izzo teams really only have one identity. It's defend, you know, defend, rebound, and run.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And if the best ones at that generally win the most, and that's kind of it. And so this team can defend, but it can't rebound, so it oft can't run. And there it is. I mean, you watch your guards not want to rebound every night. Well, you defended, but you didn't rebound, so now you can't run. Like, it's a choice. And that's the bummer, because we thought that if you got 4 years of defend, rebound, run bludgeoned into your head, that you might start doing it. And you got guys that just didn't. And that's where we're at. We have a team that has two above average players. We thought we had a team that had four and maybe some fun stuff on the bench. And we don't even play with the fun stuff on the bench. We just have two above average players. And like, that's,
it sucks.
It's tough. So
I will say this, like, if there's one, I think at a minimum, kind of no matter how the rest of the season goes, anything short of, you know, call it a run to the Elite Eight, they need to consider at a minimum shaking up the coaching staff, assistant coaches, just a new voice, because it's very plain to see that in college basketball, especially, assistants are so involved. Like, they are
Jay Johnson is what you're saying. Shake it up.
You have to do something. Something has to change. They need new voices in the room. I don't think any of these guys are the heir apparent, so I don't think you're running any risks of losing long-term impact guys. But you just need something, you know, you can do though
in the season, because you can't shake up your staff. You can change your quarterback. And who knows, in an alternate dimension, if Jeremy Fears isn't a victim of gun violence, is this team, and it's unlikely because Booker and Carr are not given that opportunity, but could Fears have been given the opportunity to try?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think he would have. I mean, it was trending in that direction.
Yeah.
You were getting super confident minutes from him in bunches. He was looking like that leader, that guy who loved to get out and run the way that you talked about. And, you know, obviously just in incredibly unfortunate circumstances for him as a human being, more so obviously than for the program, but impact certainly did impact on the court. There's no way around it, but
it's not a player-led team.
And I think maybe the advantage is, you know, assuming Jeremy can get healthy and back and contributing the way that maybe he was trending towards contributing before he was a victim of gun violence, like you said, that could be the guy, you know, that could be the guy to do it. But I think this is it. We're asking ourselves so many questions that we're not used to asking. And like you said, I think we know what the identity needs to be. Izzo's just got to do a good job of identifying talent to go out that could play that style and committing to it, and not have, like, again, this, he feels like he's hamstrung himself in the roster that he constructed, and now he's hamstringing himself by beating that roster to an absolute pulp, even though it's so obvious that it doesn't fit the style that's won him so many things over the years. So it's a bad match of talent and willpower and style, and unfortunately there's no magic potion to save this year in my estimation. But I think the focus like has to be bigger than that at this point for Michigan State. Like they need to get right going into next year.
Well, and like you said, it's such a bummer. We're already thinking about next year.
Yeah.
Which has plenty of question marks, by the way. It's not as if.
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely.
Like, we were doing this. I do remember having fun doing this last year at this time because we were thinking about this roster and boy, were we wrong. thinking that it'd be fun because this has not been fun. I think you're right about the just get back to guys. Like, can you defend? Can you rebound? Yeah. Like, let's figure that out first, because the thing that, and then like with, if you can do those two things, it's not a coincidence that we had every like Spartan dog you can think of did those things, defended, right, rebound and run. Right. Like, so it's not that hard to see that we have guys that aren't that because they don't want to do those things. And that's why you have at the end of the game in the locker room, the only person laying into the entire team is Davis Smith.
Right.
That's not like, and I'm proud of him, you know, for using his voice as a leader, but it should not be that way.
It shouldn't be him. No,
it should not be that way. So
no, but I think the identity thing to me is like, I know we're hitting on it a lot, but like, it's so important. Even from like a watching and enjoyability standpoint, it's important. Like, just to know what you're going to get when you watch a team, sure, is so like, if you think you could get a completely different version of this team every single night, again, I'll use the Aaron Henry team references. Watching that team play quote unquote basketball was horrendous. It was awful. It was worse than a rock fight, but you at least knew you were going to get tough defense. You knew you were going to get maximum effort. What they lacked in their actual like ability to shoot or to like run competent offense, they made up for in just like kind of that Spartan dogness, like you said, that grit, that like attitude, identity. Like, they just had something. This team doesn't have anything. Like, that's this team does not have a single guy. Like, again, God bless Malik Hall, God bless Tyson Walker. Like, these guys are really good players who deserve better than what they're getting this year, in my opinion. And I hope that their careers don't get lost to the unfortunate history. But this team doesn't have a guy that would do that. Like you said, Davis Smith is the one in the locker rooms giving the speeches. You think Aaron Henry was letting like a walk-on talk to anyone during that season? No, he was the one pounding his chest. He was talking to the reporters. Like, this team just feels like they have no, like you said, it's not a player-led team. It's just a bummer. And yet again, to bring it all back, still have 17 wins, still going to make the tournament. People are going to make them the trendy pick to do something silly, and maybe they will like last year, but it shouldn't. I know it's like the MSU brand in a way to be that team, but it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can be the favorite sometimes and actually like enjoy this whole experience, but I don't know. That's my rant.
That was a nice way of putting it. No, I mean, thanks. We ended on a nice part. You know, we look ahead, like you said, it's not a guarantee that they make the tournament.
No, it's not.
However, it's in a lot better shape than maybe people were afraid at one point this season. So you got a game on Sunday, 3:00 on CBS. The music's going to hit. It's going to feel like this was supposed to be the crescendo game, which is, I'm already mad again. I was trying to get happy. Like, anyway, and like, I know in my heart I shouldn't trust it, but I just feel like this team's going to show up and do the thing. And then they're going to go to Purdue. And this is the game where you can say, if you have deluded yourself into thinking that this team could do something in March, like win four straight, which they have been unable to do against like P5 opponents.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the game that would let you not be crazy and think that. So then home versus Northwestern on senior night. They are now without Ty Berry, their second best player, for the rest of the year. There is no reason you should not win your senior night game against Northwestern. And then at Indiana for one of the most bummery Indiana teams I've seen in a while.
Which is saying something.
Confusing, because they're like, I look at their team and I'm like, none of you are any good, but like none of you that bad. And
Kalel Ware's pretty good.
I know. And they got the freshman who's nice. What's his name? Sorry, I'm blanking. I just didn't want to get his name wrong. The five-star.
Malik Renault.
No, he's a sophomore.
Mackenzie Mugbako.
Yeah, thank you. Just going to butcher it.
Yeah,
it's fine. He got them. Like, I know they had, I know their point guard got hurt, but like still. You kind of thought that there was going to be a little more in the tank on there. Anyway, but the whole point is you're supposed to win that. Like, you got to win that game. I'm so sorry. Assembly Hall's tough, but I'm watching Nebraska, who has zero Big Ten away game wins on the season, up 20 at the half in Assembly Hall. So I'm so sorry if I'm not – I shouldn't, like, be afraid of this. I shouldn't be afraid of my all-upperclassmen team to be able to walk into this terrible each place and win. So –
Also, Penn State beat Illinois tonight.
One of the crazy comeback. They were up seven with, like, was it 27 seconds left or something?
Wow. And
this may shock you. I hope you're sitting down.
But I am.
But the guy we called out that was the wild card to lose the game for Illinois and definitely will lose the game for Illinois in the tournament. Coleman Hawkins, who follow three-point shooter and did the exact things you're not allowed to do at the end of game situation. So fun
real shame. Around.
And that's the thing, is like this league stinks. That's the other frustration. Like, they have Illinois apparently the second best team in this league. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
And then Hawkins missed two free throws to end the game too. So,
oof.
But like, this league stinks.
Yeah.
We are.
It really does.
We are stinky with it.
This league stinks so bad that we're currently in fifth place. Like,
yeah. Be ashamed, Big Ten. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, it was all on the table. We puked on ourselves. There's no reason this team should not win three of these four games. And if they don't, then you get into territory.
Yeah, real bubble hours.
And that's just so, so, so unnecessary. So just don't do it.
Yeah.
Win the games.
What do you say, guys?
Like, I just, like, I feel like, has anyone tried that approach? Has anyone told them to just win?
It's something to think about at a minute.
You got to try new stuff, okay?
Yeah. Hey, Tom. I got some suggestions.
Some notes. All right, before we go, I gotta ask, are there any teams that you've been watching outside of MSU this year?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't really found one that's been terribly near and dear to my heart.
Didn't fall in love with anyone yet?
I mean, no, because every time I you know, just watch like a random team. Like, I mean, I would say the closest thing has probably been like UConn. I still love this Arizona team. And I actually think that North Carolina is potentially like maybe North Carolina E again. Yeah, totally. But I mean, you know, I say this at the risk of knowing that I would be made to look like a fool, but I think Arizona's right there with anybody. Number four team in the country, 5-10 plus point scorers. Caleb Love will probably be the reason why they lose in, you know, in the tournament, but maybe it's just my love for Umar Ballo. But yeah, Caleb Love, he's so streaky. He has a special place in my heart because of what he did to Michigan this past off season. But yeah, and listen, they always just look so damn cool. So that's probably the team I'll end up forever getting suckered into.
Well, I love that you always love Arizona. The frustrating thing, I was trying to end on a high note. The frustrating thing is that this team, Michigan State team, was up one on them with like under two to go. It's like, come on.
I'm not doing you any favors with the positivity here. I'm sorry. Oh,
boy. Yeah. UConn went and got paddled at Creighton.
Oh, my goodness.
Right first, after.
Yeah. Being the only unanimous, what was the first unanimous number one this year, and then they get smoked the next night.
And he gets better. Dan Hurley told the kid as he was walking off the court that he was going to knock him out. In the student section, which actually rules.
Dude, he's insane.
Like, if you're that kid, you're like, oh my God, that is that is the coolest thing. It's very not cool that Dan Hurley is threatening
students. Yeah. But yeah, like, I don't know about like threatening violence against students being like an awesome thing per se, but you know, yeah, who am I to judge?
Dan was ready. He was not, you know, he's a stand for his squad.
Dude, he is a full blown psycho. He also posted a very funny, like a funny video of him after their loss. It was like him as just from Game of Thrones, where it was like the shame, shame, shame.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he like had his face transposed onto, oh my God, Cersei Lannister. Yeah, he knows how to play the game. He's no dummy. I mean, dude, he just won a national championship. Like, he knows he's got a very good chance at another. Like, he's riding pretty high, but I love using it.
UConn is the weirdest basketball program because they are nationally respected. It's not like that was ever in question. But like, I don't know what they need to do to get to like the big boy table. I really don't know what else they need to do, because I feel like North Carolina, Kansas, Duke haven't like exactly moved over on the table to let them in. You know, like that has not been a universally agreed upon thing that they are at the same level. But I think they're made to case it, right? Like,
I mean, absolutely, in my opinion. I mean, how many national championships do they have? At one point in time, they were probably at that table. I think the difference is that they disappeared for like kind of a while. And also, I think probably the biggest thing is they're not in a huge conference. Like the Big East doesn't, like once the Big East sort of evaporated, they sort of went with it and sort of fell off the main stage, which is probably why people don't view them in that same light. But in reality, like that program is every bit as good as any other.
Five.
Yeah, dude. And probably all within the last like
since 1999. In the time is
over. Say the last 25 years. Yeah, years.
That is terrible. That's horrible. That's a tough thing for me to swallow.
Yeah. It was three different head coaches too. One of them with Kevin Ollie. Now Brooklyn Nets head coach Kevin Ollie.
Here's the thing though, and like here's where everyone needs to just like, if you were just reeling like I was, a fan or many fans of UConn athletics made a deal with the devil and decided that their football team would be the joke of the entire, you know, NCAA in exchange for this. If you wanted that, then you needed to make that deal with the devil, and nobody was willing to do that for MSU football. So that's the situation. That's why they're where they are.
It's a fair point. I think it is an interesting thought exercise to question, would you perhaps do something similar? Because, you know, it's a question worth asking. That's all. I don't know. We've seen the highs and lows with football. That's for sure. I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
Not just highs and lows. You'd have to be like 0-12 a lot.
That's true. But then again, it's like, you know, talk to Kansas fans. Kansas fans, like, you know what I mean? Like, they've had the literal.
They made the deal too.
Oh yeah, no question. And I don't know. There's part of me that thinks they might be onto something.
I think we messed up. I think we're real.
Yeah, we might.
Our bad.
Oh well.
We wanted to dip our. You know, we liked both, but we didn't. Weren't in love with either. So.
Yeah, we just were in really deep like with both.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to prom stag. what it feels like.
I'll finish on this. I need this team to punch a ticket to the dance. So let's figure it out, guys. Ohio State on Sunday, and then gets weird, headed to Purdue. During the week, not insane. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel at this point. We'll see what happens. We'll see what
There's
happens.
There's no this point might be in previewing it because, like you said, the team it's a different team of goof arounds every time. So yeah, I can't even tell you.
We'll be talking NFL draft here before too long. And let's put it that way.
Your boy's been hitting the mocks lately. Gotta admit.
Please, dude. Just don't even. Honestly, we should end because you don't want to get me going. You would think, your team is drafting 29th. How much attention could you possibly give it? Well, I will tell you, the answer is quite a bit.
The drug, the high we tasted with the
NFL. Oh, man. Let me tell you. It is. It's an unquenchable thirst, sadly.
We are smoking swag right now in the off season.
We're scraping the bottom of the bowl right now, I will say. I am chasing it right now, and Michigan State basketball is not helping me.
They just gotta give me the march. Like that's honestly
just a hit. Just a hit. Just one hit. That's literally all I'm looking for. Oh, God. Okay. All right, John. I think that about does it for us. What do you think?
Yep.
Sounds all great. Right, guys. As always, thanks for sticking with us. For John, this has been Austin. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.